I think it's key also to just to always go back to that discernment piece, because I think that, especially for me, like I get excited about things really quickly and I get a lot of energy and I'm like, we're going to do this. Let's take on the world. Yeah. And then things don't go exactly. And so I think that learning how to pause and really pay attention to God speaking in the stillness of our hearts is a really important piece, and trying to really, really find where He is asking us to go is important.
You're listening to Upside Down,
a podcast on spirituality and culture.
No topic is off limits, so join us for unscripted conversations on God's upside down kingdom.
You can't fully explain it, but we've all experienced that inner tug, that nagging that just won't let us go. Callings or vocations. You're listening to episode 53, hashtag called Exploring Calling and Vocation. I'm your host, Gina Siliberto, and I'm joined by Elisa Molina. Hey, Elisa.
Hey.
Kayla Craig. Hey, Kayla.
Hello. Hello.
And Lindsay Wallace.
Hey, Lindsay. Guys.
So callings are really elusive. The more I prepared for this episode, the more mind-boggling the idea of a calling became in a lot of ways. I thought we would start, Elisa, Kayla, and Lindsay, by you guys talking about what a calling means to each of you.
Okay, no pressure here. And we just have to say, Gina, this is Gina's first time hosting, and she's doing a great job, and we're so proud of her. And Gina, you're doing good. Keep going. Yeah. That's my answer. No, I'm gonna hand that off to Lisa, our other new co-host, and see what she has to say.
Yeah, you know, I kind of default to vocation just because, you know, vocation comes from the Latin to call, and so the church has this idea that there's a universal vocation to holiness. And for me, I kind of start there, you know, nearness to God and trying to imitate the life of Jesus, I think often is a good place to start in our call. And I think that prayer has a, for me at least, prayer has a large part and in what I feel called to, what I feel led into, because discernment, as I have become older and older, and kind of asking God, like, what are you calling me to, and giving Him space to answer that question, that is in my life right now a place I feel very comfortable with. And if I sit in discernment long enough, I feel a great peace about where I head next. So yeah, that's kind of it for me.
I like how you explain the Latin and then say, you know, like,
I know,
like, I know, I don't know. Tell me, I don't know.
I'm nodding like, yes, I knew that. I definitely knew that.
This is an interesting phrase for me, I guess. We started talking about recording an episode on calling literally almost 3 years ago. And I remember at the time thinking like, oh, this is like a topic that people have big feelings about, and I don't really have big feelings about it. So even now I sit here and I think of calling maybe simply, I don't know, but the word invitation keeps coming up for me as I've thought about this episode. Like, I think of calling as an invitation from God, and, you know, St. Ignatius says, like, the answer to all of our questions should be whatever takes us closer to God. And so I think invitation, it's not like you get asked one time and then if you say no, you missed it. Like, there's a continual invitation from the Lord to, like, join Him in what He's doing and what the work is in the world. So yeah, I guess I just think of it as like an invitation from God.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like, Lindsay, kind of like you, I don't know fully what to do, you know, with that word. Even though Elisa told us where that word comes from, it still feels like this very modern idea, and maybe even a Western idea, that calling is like this personal individual mission that we have to accomplish. And so I think I've seen people in the Christian church use calling as this kind of Christianese lingo to describe whatever they want to do and put like a Jesus band-aid on it. And that can then lead to actually really like harmful and hurtful things. So I'll just be very honest. I'm very cautious about using that phrase because I don't think I've always seen it modeled in a healthy way. So I'm really, really eager to hear Gina and Alisa, especially, and Lindsay, you were bringing in Ignatius. So I'm really, really excited to hear what you guys have to say and learn from you, because I feel like this is definitely a place where I'm kind of learning and I'm cautious about it.
That's so interesting, Kayla, because when you say that, my first thought is like Catholics, I'm like, you know, the year 1000 or something, and when religious callings were a thing, but also, I mean, people did join religious life then to like learn how to read as well, or because their parents like pawned them off on it. So it's not that like 100% of people in religious life necessarily had a calling, but I don't know. I wonder if there still was that thing back then, even though people were joining at a much younger age.
Yeah. So when you say calling, do you feel like you're saying like a call to ministry?
I think that's part of it. That was going to be one of my questions. Like, can you have multiple callings, right? Like marriage or religious life or being single, but then like ministry is another calling. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I like what Lindsay said about invitation, and I would just add participation to that. I do think that we're continually invited into the work of the vineyard always. And that God gives each of us different gifts and talents in order to participate in that work. And we can say yes, or we can say no. And I think that depending on how your seasons of life change, I think that the callings change. So, you know, I feel like it's very fluid, but I also really, really like what Kayla was saying about being careful about stamping, like going around and doing kind of our own thing and then saying like, this is my calling from God. Like, I have to do this, because like our history in the United States it's shown that a lot of people say, this is what Jesus wants me to do. And it's dangerous and damaging.
Yeah, I mean, I totally echo that sentiment that we're constantly being invited into the work that the Spirit is doing, and we get to enter in to that renewal of all things, and there's that constant kind of cycle of invitation and participation. That's a beautiful way to think about it.
And I think it's key also to just to always go back to that discernment piece, because I think that, especially for me, like I get excited about things really quickly and I get a lot of energy and I'm like, we're going to do this. Let's take on the world. Yeah. And then things don't go exactly. And so I think that learning how to pause and really pay attention to God speaking in the stillness of our hearts is a really important piece, and trying to really, really find where he is asking us to go is important.
Yeah. So kind of to that question, Gina, of like, can you have more than one? Like, what's your true calling? So Richard Rohr kind of talks about in the book Falling Upward, I think it is, kind of how like the first half of life is figuring out who you are. And he uses the analogy of a container. Like, what is your container? Like, who the heck are you? And you spend the first half of your life really striving and doing a lot of things that are necessary, but you're just really trying to figure out who you are. And then the second half of life, which for some of us comes earlier or later, you know, depending on circumstances and maturity and all of that, is like what goes into your container. Like, you know who you are, but like, what is the outworking of that in your life? How does that play out in your place and in your people and all of that? So I kind of, that's where my mind went when you kind of pose that question of like, well, what is it? And can you have more than one? And how do these things work together? Is it's like, first, and this also ties into what Alisa is saying about discernment and really sitting with the Lord, which Western civilization is not good at doing, but like, who am I in Christ? And then what does that look like? Like, what are the things I want to put into my container? What are the things I want to put into my life? What are the things I want to be about once I know who I am? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That was, yeah, I like it. I feel like I need to read this book immediately.
I just alienated half of our listeners by quoting Richard Rohr. No, so people either love him or hate him. And so
I'll get him, you know. I'll get the listeners back because I was gifted that book and I started it. And I actually don't dislike Richard Rohr, but I was like, well, like too young to be reading this book. Like, not ready to read about the questions like, yeah, like, nope. And I gave it to my mom. Like, I was like, here you go.
I will just be completely honest in the spirit of honesty that I also started reading that book. And I felt like it was really hard. Like, it was a really focused on men. And it just kind of lost me. Like, he talks a lot about men and the two stages of life. And I was like, you know, I appreciate you. Yeah. But, and I get this idea. But
yeah,
it didn't hold me.
Yeah, I can get that. I must be old because I am like digging it right now. So
we can just be the spiritual moms. That's fine.
There you go. That's okay.
So one thing that came to mind while we were preparing for this episode is I recently watched the movie Pele about the Brazilian soccer player. And I feel like it presented callings as we so often see them, maybe in the media or among just in stories that we're told. You know, he's like a little kid. He's super good at soccer. He's like kicking, you know, stuff around the village he lives in. And he's clearly talented. And then he, when he's like 8 years old, promises his dad that he's going to win the Brazilian World Cup. And there are like a few hiccups. And then he wins the Brazilian World Cup. And what's amazing about this movie is Pelé himself was an executive producer. So maybe it was traumatized, but I don't know. I feel like callings, we often hear about them as like this all consuming, like it's the focus of your life. You get them at a really young age. You can't ignore them. And that has not necessarily been the case for my life. But I also spent some time on the Upside Down Tribe Facebook page today. And you're so right, Lindsay, when you said before that there's been a hunger for this, because actually our listeners have been commenting about callings for quite some time and expressing anxiety and struggle around them. So we've had listeners comment that they feel that they have ambitions like in the workplace, but they also want to be moms and they don't know how to balance those two callings. Or people write that they feel really confident about a specific calling, but actually it's scary. Like, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's happening really quickly. What do you guys make of when callings aren't like these easy things that are super clear in our lives, but instead cause anxiety or struggle?
I think a little bit of it, I think, is just kind of the, this could be wrong, but it feels a little bit like the culture that we live in kind of makes ties calling into like success and productivity.
Yep.
And like your value is tied. And I think what, at least in the conversation so far, what we're talking about is it's really not about being able to measure something as far as dollars and cents or like, but really kind of this trying to participate in the good work of the gospel. And so I think we can easily slip into this notion that something we have to be successful or we have to be 100% certain all the time.
Hmm. I also think kind of tying into that, when you, even in church, we have been indoctrinated to climb the ladder and go after the American dream. And so I think when you're doing something that's not that, which I would say God oftentimes, like if he's calling you to something, it's most likely not that. But that is countercultural, you're swimming upstream, and it just gets weird when your only answer for doing something is like, I think God told me to do it, you know, like, because everyone else's reason for doing something is like, well, I want to get this raise, or I want to get my kid into this good school, or I want to get whatever. And those aren't inherently bad things. But when your reasoning is, I've got no real logical reason for my decision, except God is inviting me into this thing, and it is scary, and it does give me anxiety, and it does keep me up at night, but I'm doing it anyway. Like, that can be a really lonely place. And so I think more people having these conversations and trusting that, like, they're going to be caught in a communal sense, yes, when they take that leap, and it's scary and it's hard and all those things. But like that, like, you know, you lose your life to gain your soul. Like, that is it. That is where Jesus is.
I love that. And I do think there's a certain amount of purpose and peace that comes with,
yeah,
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that it's a little bit of a rat race if you're constantly trying to do things to achieve this, like, golden calf that's out there.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I totally agree. So the I know, I don't know isn't like a, I don't know what you're saying, but more just like a, I don't know how important it is to keep fretting over what our calling is. And if we just loved God and loved our neighbor, like, maybe we just start following where God is leading us. And that is what it means to be called, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I really hesitate on the over spiritualization of some of the decisions that we make. And I think then we can get really hesitant about doing much of anything because we want to be called to do that. And I do think that there is a Western idea of, like, I'm special, I'm called from the pack to do X, Y, or Z, instead of this, like, communal offering of love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think when I was thinking about this conversation, I mean, I honestly don't hear people talking about calling that much anymore. But if I think back 15 or so years to my early 20s, people were talking about it all the time in all kinds of ways, like colleges, vocation, marriages. Like, am I called to this? Am I called to that? Well, I don't know if I'm called, so I'm just gonna, like, sit on my bum and do nothing for a while. And I think, like, Kayla, I agree completely with what you're saying. There's a whole lot of scripture that is communal, that is for all of us. Like, we all know we're supposed to do these certain things. And then, like, your unique assignment, maybe, like, maybe that's where that word could come in. It's something you're going to figure out along the way. But if you're not already, like you're saying, loving God and loving your neighbor, I don't know, I feel like you would, maybe your eyes aren't going to be open to the invitation anyway.
Well, and you're covering a lot of bases when you love God and you love your neighbor. You know, if you start with that, you're fulfilling, again, that universal call to holiness, to nearness to God and nearness to your neighbor. So, like, I do think there can be, like, this, you know, deer in the headlights if you focus so much on making sure that every step is clear. It's not going to be.
I like that idea of, like, the universal call and then, like, the individual call. Because, you know, my husband's a pastor, and I do feel like there is a specific call to pastoral ministry. I've felt that with him. So I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, but I do think there's also, like, that universal calling. I love that language you put to that, Elisa.
It kind of sounds like you guys are saying so much of a calling is really about trust and not so much about knowing, you know, yourself, what's happening or what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that feels true for me.
And being cool with being countercultural. I mean, this is the premise of the entire podcast. Like, we're trying to do something, and we looked around left and right, and we're like, oh, like, am I the only one? Anybody? And so it is going to feel
Bueller.
Different, Bueller. Right? Bueller. Wait, you guys know that movie?
Oh, come on. We're not babies.
Okay.
We've That's seen good. The reruns on TV. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, it's going to feel like you're different than people.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I think another really interesting concept is callings as coming through others. So maybe like someone who has imitated or shown us an example of a specific way of life or career, but I don't know. I think maybe sometimes people speak callings into our lives in kind of poignant ways. Have any of you experienced that? Like the call to be on this podcast?
Do you mean like people encouraging us or like saying more directly like, hey, I think you're called to this?
I don't know. I think whichever way it makes sense for you.
Mm. Well, I think I needed to see it in kind of in someone else's life. Like I needed to see, like I had this inclination, like I'm being invited to this lifestyle. But I had no framework for what it looked like. I had never seen it done before. And then I was introduced to someone who was living out what I thought God was inviting me to. And it was like kind of crystallized in my mind then, like, oh, well, I can do that. Like, I see it now. I know what it looks like. And another thing, I think I was thinking about this today. 2018 sucked. So I really am a fairly confident person, but like by the beginning of this year, I was questioning like basically everything in my life and even about myself, like, oh, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do this, or maybe I'm not supposed to talk about that, or maybe I'm not qualified, or maybe I shouldn't, or whatever. And I realized that like trauma, I have a friend who says trauma is a thief. And I just love that because it does steal from us so many things. But in this situation for me, it really stole my ability to see clearly like how God made me in that container that I was talking about earlier. Like I know my container. I have a good idea of a lot of what goes into it even, but I had questioned that for weeks and months, really, kind of on the tail end of a really difficult year. So I think I also needed at that time people to speak into me and go, no, God made you for that. No, he gave you that voice. No, he gave you that talent or whatever, to like remind me along the way. So I've experienced kind of both. And I think both are necessary and important because it is countercultural. Like we said, it is hard. It's difficult. And we need one another along the way.
I think that's why it's really important to figure your own self out first. I think for lots of years, nothing kind of made sense because I wasn't grounded in who I was, and I kept kind of shifting what made me feel comfortable or what felt right because I just wasn't grounded enough in who God made me to be. And then everything else kind of unfolded better when I gave myself permission, just I call it moving while standing still. Like I can stand still in who I am and always try to do better.
So in preparation for this episode, I was just trying to figure out what to say and what to talk about. And I was in the office today and I pulled a bunch of nuns into a room and sort of frantically was like, what can you tell me about a calling?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah,
so I wish you had taken a picture. Yes. Oh my gosh.
How did that not go on Instagram? I just love that you're like, so I was thinking about it. So I just pulled a bunch of nuns in the room. Like,
well, and these incredible. Are women who like, you know, felt called from a super young age, like 16, 17, 18, entered, didn't leave, are still here, have been here for 60 years. And basically I was like, you know, so this sounds like a pretty like tidy story, right? Like, you know, you felt a calling, you followed it, it worked out. It sounds like it like wrapped up in a bow. Is that how it was for you? And they all went, no. And I was like, oh, like, okay. And one thing that one of the younger sisters in the room said was, when she entered with only one other woman. And within, I guess, a few years, her novice mistress, so like the person who was her main mentor, a bunch of other mentors within the community, and the only other person who entered with her all left. And as in like the community. And she was like, if they were never there, I would never, ever, ever have entered. But because of them, I entered and I stayed. And so it's not the case that they didn't have a religious vocation. It just wasn't a lifelong one, because vocations are a conversation. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That like blew... Vocations are a conversation.
Yeah. And she was like, if their only vocation was to bring me closer to mine, that's still valid. And I think that's like a beautiful example of other people. I don't have anything like similar to that in my life, but I think that's such a beautiful example of other people drawing us closer in ways that they may not sense or even know themselves.
Yeah, I think that speaks to like the mystery of God, right? Like we want so much to be in black and white, and it's just not. Like God is God and he's bigger than us, and it's a mystery. And so yeah, like even for those women, you know, they might not even know like how they were used in that other woman's life, because there's just something mysterious about it.
I don't know a lot about calling, but someone that I follow on Instagram who does know a lot about calling and from like a theological perspective is Laura Finucci. And yeah,
oh my gosh, I love her.
I know. We're all fan girls. Yeah. Hi Laura, if you're listening. Yeah. Beautiful writer, so thoughtful, just really, really good stuff. But she's the director of the Communities of Calling Initiative for the Collegeville Institute at St. John's University in Minnesota. And she has literally written the book on it, a book on it and calling. But I spent some time on her website, and one of her quotes that she is inspired by that she uses a lot is a Henri Nouwen quote from Beyond the Mirror. And he says, "My deepest vocation is to be a witness to the glimpses of God I have been allowed to catch." Mm. Yeah,
that's really good.
I love that story, Gina. And part of it is just a reminder to me personally that a community is really important.
Yeah.
Like trying to do the work of God is hard on your own, and you need one or two people to kind of encourage you when you start to falter a little bit. That's, you know, the disciples lived in community, and it's really important to have those people who can point you back to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When I hear that phrase, like doing the work of God, I don't know if that's like a popular phrase in the Catholic world. I don't know. Enlighten me if so. But to me, I think that that's a pressure that we put on ourselves that we don't have to, because God is always doing the work of God, and we're like invited into that. So we don't have to have that pressure of like, well, if I'm not doing this, who's going to do it? Like, God's not going to do it. You know, like there is this, like, God is always actively working and all things. And when we like submit ourselves into that, then we can join him. But like if we feel like this is like the burden on us, then it starts to be a inward facing calling instead of like an upward facing calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
What about calling as an element of surprise? So not so much like the child who is just super good at soccer, but something that maybe comes later in life or catches us off guard. I know when Leonard Lopate was on the air, he interviewed Dave Isay, who founded StoryCorps and also wrote a book called Callings, The Purpose of Passion and Work. And in that book, he tells the stories of a lot of people who received callings to a new career or a new way of fulfillment, sometimes decades into a different career.
So this isn't decades necessarily, but I was working on a writing project for an online publication that I write for, and it was an interview with a guy who had started a community house for folks who had been formerly homeless in 2003. And so now he gets to say he has 16 years of experience living with this community and all these things that he's learned. And I wasn't even a Christian in 2003. And so as I was working on this piece, I found myself like really envious of his experience and his wisdom and just the knowledge that he has and the way that he phrases things. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I believe. How come I can't put that into words? And then I realized, like, well, he's been on this journey longer than I have, you know? And so I think in some ways, I feel that way sometimes because I was an adult before I came to know the Lord. And then the journey that I've been on, while like some people look at it and think like, oh, it's really radical, like the reality is it was slow going at first. And it's not something that happened to me as a child. Like, I was an adult when I realized, like, oh, that's who Jesus is, and that's how he lived, and then, oh, that's how I'm supposed to live. So I can relate to that a little bit, not necessarily like, you know, the super late in life thing, but for sure being an adult, already having a degree in something that you realize, oh crap, I don't want to do that, which I know that happens to a lot of people, but even like thinking now, like, man, if I could go back to school, I would study something totally different. I would invest in completely different things as a, you know, high schooler, college student, whatever. So I can relate to that a little bit.
What is the difference between a calling and vocation?
When I looked up definitions, I mean, which isn't the end all, but for starters, calling kind of says that you see something as really worthy or you feel urge toward it, but vocation mentioned presence of the divine.
So what does that mean?
I think they're the same thing. It's like one is Christian language and one is secular language.
I thought that vocation was like bringing spiritual meaning to a job, but I don't know where I picked that idea up. Vocation isn't a word I've heard a lot.
So in the Catholic Church, we use vocation a lot, and that's kind of why I brought the Latin in, because it is your calling. And so the Second Vatican Council is kind of where, or one of our councils basically said, hey, all the faithful have this universal call to holiness. And then the church, at least the Catholic Church, gets very specific with vocations. And, you know, so a vocation to religious life, like the sisters that Gina works with, or, you know, my priest friends, they have a specific call. We believe that I am specifically called to married life. And basically your vocation is how you specifically live out your call to love and charity and holiness in a specific way. And so you're going to hear Catholics use the word vocation in place of call a lot.
That's really interesting. Thank you for taking the time to explain that to those of us who don't have, because I'm sitting here thinking, like, I think I'm missing something. Like, I feel like I kind of have an idea, but, you know, it's just, you just pick it up as you go. And I don't, my tradition doesn't use that language a ton. So that's really helpful.
It helps to kind of orient us a little bit in kind of our daily life, and kind of, and back to the discernment thing. It helps us to kind of pay attention to where we feel led in it, like in an overarching way. So yeah, I think that's why they got kind of back and forth for this episode between calling and vocation.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit more specific.
So I heard somebody earlier in this conversation, I can't remember who, said that callings can change. And something that I was reading said, just a person was saying that in her view, callings don't change. Like, there's something that is very like permanent in your life, and your life circumstances can change, but your calling doesn't change. Just wondering what you guys think about that idea.
I guess the first word that came to mind was yikes. Like,
right.
I change.
Like,
what
do you
mean?
But you didn't say that you
have,
because you said that, like, I'm called to married life. So that would be a permanent thing, right?
Right. So when you take vows, that's different, right? So if you take a vow, and there's a covenant involved, that those things don't change. But I think, you know, again, the universal call to holiness is for everyone. And so, like, I think that we learn, hopefully we grow. And I think that, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure it can change. The way you do it, I guess, can change.
I don't know. When I was talking with the nuns about the sisters who left, like, I don't think the consensus is like, yeah, vows don't matter. Like, that can change. I do think they're a covenant. But one sister was describing, and she herself did not leave, but she was saying that, like, she's heard of a feeling among people who left of almost like, no, I'm happy here. Like, God, like, why are you calling me to something else? Which is really interesting. Mm. And I think there was like an acceptance among them, again, not necessarily praise for having broken a covenant, but sort of an acceptance that things changed. I don't know.
I think it's interesting, like, how important language is, and like the language that we use. And Kayla just asked that sort of clarifying question, and I'm just sitting here realizing how often people have conversations and they think they're speaking the same language and they're really not. And so I even wonder if like that plays a part in ways that people have talked about calling in front of me before, in like the vocation piece. Like, I very much thought of vocation as like the job that you do, and like your calling might be something different, but like it doesn't pay the bills, so you have to get a job. So I don't know. I just think it's interesting, and I imagine our listeners might be feeling some of what I'm feeling right now with like that tension of like, oh, we're not always all using the same, like the words don't mean the same thing to all of us, mm-hmm. you know? And I think even now, like that yeah. calling piece of like, well, is it permanent or is it not permanent? And I think the definition is important, right? Because I'm thinking like, well, if God called you to live a life of solidarity with the poor, like, does that mean you always are going to do that thing? And then I'm hearing Gina's story about the nuns who made a commitment, and then God called them away, and they were like maybe even saddened by that. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I think again, like the mystery comes into yeah, play. Like, yeah. we don't know and we can't understand it. And we're talking about words, and even language falls short, right? Like, even language cannot get at God. It just can't. So it's fun to talk about. Obviously we have a podcast, so well, oh yeah, for sure, important. And it's important, but yeah, yeah, like sometimes you yeah. just have to go, man, maybe we don't know.
I think that it's like this conversation has been super kind of helpful, all the episodes that kind of help me to see a different perspective are really, really helpful in just the way I try to go about becoming, you know, a better disciple. So even when there hasn't been like a firm decision at the end, and it's just been kind of open-ended, I think that the idea is just to be oftentimes just left with things to ponder and things to consider. And that's, you know, being fresh and new to this podcast, listening to it has always been so fruitful because it has given me those things to consider in a way that was, you know, kind of full of grace and care. And so, yeah, I hope that's what this conversation has been for people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope so too. I guess I wonder if you guys would define like determining your family size, or maybe determining like adopting or fostering. Did that feel like a calling to you?
Yeah, Gina, that's a good question. And I have been really hesitant to use calling language very intentionally. Just a phrase that I say is we felt open and then felt led. So that might be semantics, but I have seen people use, I feel called to adopt. And they're really, I feel like, making some decisions that I don't know. Maybe have you guys ever seen somebody be like, I'm called to do this? And you're like, dude, like, no, you're not. And things are just like, this is just like 100 red flags. But, you know, you're just excited and in the moment.
And how do you argue with God? Right. Like, how so rude, like, would well, you be
sorry,
to be like,
but I'm called. Exactly. Exactly. But it can be. It can be damaging to use that language, but I do feel I would be lying if I said that my husband and I did not specifically feel open, and then in that opening feel like to take a step forward and follow where the Spirit was leading us, especially in our adoptions.
It was an invitation.
Yes, it was an invitation. Yes.
Right. When my husband and I got married, we didn't want to have kids. So, haha. Joke's on us. Yeah.
Joke's on you.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever used that language before either, but not because I don't feel quite as strongly as Kayla does, although I do know those families that she's talking about. We had two little boys literally, like, I'm not kidding, put in, like, dropped on our doorstep, like, hey, these kids have nowhere to go. And so kind of going back to the, like, love God, love your neighbor, like, the loving thing to do was to take them in. And my husband and I talk about that still to this day, like, the Christ-like thing to do was to take them in. And then once they were in, it was very shortly after that where we both heard God say, like, these are your kids. So I don't know what you call that.
Right.
But for sure, the Lord was involved in that process, and we had to be like open to hearing from him.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of other things that we've talked about in this conversation, but yeah, the invitation was there. And then, you know, we had more kids.
I think there's some people, you know, adoption is a very multifaceted gem, and there are people that have, you know, kind of experienced what Lindsay's talking to, and then there are other people that maybe, and not just with adoption, but there's something that they want and they set goals to get it, and then there is this kind of like kind of mysterious prompting, or I don't know, it's like one of those things where you don't have the words to put to it. And it's something that you never would have dreamed up on your own. Like, Lindsay, you probably weren't expecting that to happen, and no. I feel that way with both of our children that came to us through adoption, is that that was not a plan that we had like set out to you know, achieve, for lack of a better word. So I think that maybe that's a part of, you know, quote unquote calling, is that there is something beyond ourselves that is happening in a way that is like, we would have never dreamed this up or created this necessarily if we were on our own.
Yeah, that's good.
I love that both of you use the language of being open, and you know, we have five kids, and my plan was four, and so that was not a great plan, because baby five is just the best. And so I think that is a really, as far as calling and vocation and all that, just I think that's a great word to use in this entire conversation, is just an openness and a willingness to say yes whenever the time comes to say yes. And for everybody that's different. For people struggling with infertility, their yes looks different. So, I like the language of openness. That's good.
Yeah. Something else that came up today is that, you know, if calling is a conversation, God actually is always on the other end. Mm-hmm. So it's just up to us to dial in.
Yeah.
Ladies, I appreciate you all talking so much today. As usual, I feel like we skimmed the surface. Mm-hmm. Listeners, you should comment what you think about callings, if you've had them or find them confusing or are bothered by the language, on our Facebook page. And you can also find us on upsidedownpodcast.com or Upside Down Podcast on Instagram, and our show notes will be on Instagram as well.
Yeah, I love that. And another way that you can just come alongside us, help us move the needle and bump up in Apple Podcasts is honestly to leave a 5-star if you like us. If you don't, you don't have to, but leave a starred review or a rating, and then leave, just type in, you know, why you listen. If you're listening, what stands out to you? What do you like? What do you don't like? What do you want to hear more of? We love hearing from you, and those ratings and reviews really do help other people find us. If you haven't noticed, the podcast market is a little bit saturated, but we really feel like we have a really awesome group of listeners, and we're really excited to have Elisa and Gina because they bring so much depth to these conversations. So if you want to keep hearing more, a super easy way to support us and a free way to support us is to just leave a rating and review. And sometimes we read those reviews, so you might just hear one in an upcoming episode.
Yes, and another way to support us is if you're able to give on Patreon. So our patrons, our giving community make it possible for us to produce the podcast. So a few bucks a month really, really does add up. You can visit upsidedownpodcast.com/giving to sign up to join our Patreon community.
And that is it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.